America. He was titled that. They said he would run a race and would regularly fall down and get back up. And when people would finish, he would be about halfway. And so now we've had some cross-country runners through the youth group. And so we know that times-wise, you know, if we're trying to break 20, isn't that the, if you're breaking 20, you're really doing something. And then guys, if they're getting down to, if you hear a 17 mark or even lower, you're really out there doing something. Yeah, this guy was twice that amount, if not a little more. And so the teammates would then go back and run with him, cheering him on. He got into Sports Illustrated because the opposing teams liked this guy so much that they would go back and run with him and cheer him on. What I haven't mentioned is he has cerebral palsy. So when he's running, every step is a battle. And they said when he would fall down, his arm reactions wouldn't be quick enough to catch him. So often when he's falling, it's kind of like Miss America, if you saw anything with Miss America wiping out. Yeah, you saw Miss America. What a great wipeout. But that's okay. In the Miss Universe contest, Miss America took her, but laid out. But it's okay. She got back up, right? But he would fall. When he'd fall, his hand actions weren't quick enough and go right face down. And so he said a lot of races he would finish with like a bloody nose or something and everybody cheering him on. He gave a quote that said, "I like to show people that you can either stop trying or you can pick yourself up and keep on going." And then he said, "It's just more fun to keep on going." I really want you to think about this guy and just his whole process of things as we continue in Philippians. We are on, whoops, not that one. Alrighty. Philippians 3:12 through chapter 4, verse 1. And it really becomes like a race. And you're going to see often some words that just give us the whole idea of continuing. "Not that I've already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." All of us who are mature should take view of such things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, this is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends." Interesting, when you go back, you see where it even talks about, even our thinking, second line top, when you think differently, that too God will make clear to you on your Saturday night for the high schoolers. You're talking about rethinking things and where we think differently, where is it God wants us thinking? And so this verse touched on that. But where I really want to go on today is perseverance. Well, these verses talk about pressing on, straining forward, pressing on, standing firm, and the whole concept of not giving up. And whatever the area is in your life, to keep keeping on. Winston Churchill, I am told this was his whole speech at one time. That he just got up there and said, "Never, never, never give up. And then he sat down. Wouldn't you love to be at that graduation ceremony when that's as long as they spoke? No, I'm speaking longer than that, so stop getting any ideas about that. But I don't know, why did he stop speaking? Did he give up? No, he didn't give up. But the mindset, he just wanted the point to be clear. Never give up. The film, this may be way too old school for a lot of you, but I always think of the Rocky films, you know, and just the not giving up. And, you know, what just recently Rocky 12 came out or something like that. I don't know what number it is. Is it the fourth or fifth, sixth? Six? Okay. The senior citizen fighting or something. I don't know what it was, but I think of just the constantly him battling on and going against people that are a little bigger than him and gets a statue out of it because of a movie. And you know what else, just so you know, yes, you can even purchase the figurines. And look at the last figurine. Where's the beef, right? You can go pound on that one. I don't know, I got a kick out of that. And why do I put that up there? You know that I have a sick mind. From Scripture, I think somebody that really stands out is never giving up. I want to go into the Old Testament. Who would this be? Joseph. And you know, as a kid, the coat of many colors, and whether it had a lot of colors or not, really not have to get into that whole battle. But some things in his life where the brothers get jealous of him, they throw him in a pit. When he gets out of the pit, they sell him into slavery. Family thinks he is dead, you know, everybody else, but he is sold into slavery. He gets into a situation where Potiphar's wife wants to have sex with him. He refuses, runs out. She has him thrown in prison. While in prison, he has two other people come in, and they're going to have a case where they've had dreams. And with the one, he's like, hey, I got good news for you. Hey, it's only going to be 3 days. You'll be right back in your position. And everyone's like, whoa, what's mine? Let's talk about it later. You know, I really don't want to answer that question. But he continues. And he's like, you know, when you get out, don't forget me. You know, remember that I took care of you. Try to take care of me. And you really have a situation in Joseph's life when he's sold into slavery. I mean, that'd be a major time for self-pity party. And now he's a slave, and what does he take on? He's like, I'm going to be the best I can be. And even then, when he's thrown in prison, and he never makes any excuses for his life. Thrown in prison, he tries to be the best, even there, that he can be as a person. And a verse that really bugs me, Genesis 41:1 says, when 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile. Do you remember the dream at all? Some cows in that, 7 of them, right? There were 7 fat ones, and then came out these. But stop and realize for a moment, with perseverance, when 2 full years had passed. It's amazing, God bless you. It's amazing on how in Scripture God will just like throw a little phrase in there that we just skim right by. Joseph had been in prison for a while. He interprets some dreams. The one doesn't turn out too well for the person. The other one gets back in his position. He's right there with the king. And 2 years later, oh yeah, I forgot to tell you something. Yeah, there's this guy who interprets dreams. This guy who took care of me. Now, there's a guy in prison right now who's kind of a special individual. I mean, he's like some god talks to him about the future. 2 years had passed. And Joseph's opportunity comes up. He's all able to tell the dream, interpret the dream. And then he gets to a position of honor. Family gets back together. And he has them all killed for what they... No, he doesn't do that. He has them all thrown in prison. No, he doesn't do that. Instead of becoming bitter, as you know, he became better. He persevered, he pressed on, and because he never gave up, I believe God was able and chose to bless him. Because he never gave up, he never gave in. That animal just cracks me up. But I really think that animal... It's not real. Right, it's not real. But it has a lot to do with... This is God's mean joke of Siamese twins or something. I don't know, but... we live this way. We know we're supposed to press forward, but we're always looking back. And we're kind of making excuses. Oh, I would be better if it wasn't for this. You know, it's kind of like Napoleon Dynamite. Is that movie too old for some of you still? Is it? But where the is the uncle who, if he'd go back to be the high school quarterback again, life would be different if I could go back to there. You know, come on. Stop living in the past. When I was in elementary school, there was a third grader and a fifth grader that stole a vehicle. And the one had to sit on the floor and hit the gas pedal, and the other stood on the seat and did the steering. Another time the guy stole a vehicle and didn't want to get seen, so he laid down the vehicle. I don't want to give you guys ideas with things, obviously, but he used the rearview mirror to look forward. So he turned it like this to drive. You know, it is not a good idea. It's not a good idea. Don't say that. You know, I think a lot of people spend too much time looking in the rearview mirror when they're driving. Look forward. You've probably already heard the farming analogies where you have to pick a point and go forward there. Don't look where you were just plowing. Because then it gets way off. To go forward, not to be this constantly looking in the back. Not looking constantly at my successes in the back. What am I now? You know, that I won the spelling bee in whatever grade. Great. But where are you at now? Continuing on, pressing on. Never, never, never give up. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 gives us another example, and it'll be Jesus Christ himself. And as you look at this, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and run with perseverance the race marked out for you. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This verse... Zoros once like, I don't view it as the joy set before him, he endured the cross. When Jesus is looking at the cross, he's looking past the cross. He's looking at our salvation. Where if it's not for the cross, we can't get to God. We can't go to heaven without the cross. It is only because of the work of Jesus Christ. And it makes such a difference. And I know it will make such a deal. Again, I've said this before, and even recently. It's amazing that Jesus died for us, but please do not forget Jesus lived for us. And in perseverance, every day, he lived for us. Without sin. In communion today, something just like smashed me in the face. This may be something old for you that you thought about, and I've already thought it through, and you're already settling it. I'm sorry if I'm going back there, but for communion for the Lord's Supper, it says, when he had given thanks, he took the bread and said, this is my body, which is, right? Do this for me. You know what I'm talking about? Did you ever really stop to think about what kind of prayer that would be, and when he had given thanks? I mean, if I'm in that situation, is my thanks like, first of all, you already have it planned out what's going to happen that night. You have the supper. You're the only one who knows it's the Last Supper. No one else, you know, they're going to find out later why it's called the Last Supper. You know already it's the Last Supper. You know that after you pray, you're going to grab this bread, and you're going to do something. And Jesus says, thank you to God. Knowing the image he's going to portray is his death. Knowing everything he's going to go through. I mean, for me, that would be a very sarcastic prayer. And it'd be wrong. You know, it'd be like, God, thank you that I'm going to be beat. I'm not going to get any sleep tonight. 6 trials. Mocked. Oh, yeah, and you know, really, thanks for letting them spit on me. Yeah, Dad, thanks. I appreciate that one. And thanks for... Oh, yeah, you know what? Thanks for that time when I'm on the cross bearing everybody else's sin where you don't even look at me because you can't look at the sin I'm bearing. Thanks. I mean, he didn't pray that way. Don't get me wrong. His prayer looked past it all. And it would have been a thank you that we're right now getting to the point where we can be reunited with our creation. With those that we made in our image. We made in our image. Oh, thank you. Wow. That prayer to me, it has to be so deep of where Jesus is after he's given thanks. Such a flippant statement, I think. He took the bread and broke it. When it comes to perseverance, William Carey is classified as the father of modern missions. And modern missions, you look at the dates, he really is considered the father of modern missions. He's the one that got missions going. And I read this week that he was a missionary in Burma for 7 years before his first convert came. The father of modern missions served for 7 years before somebody got saved. I mean, if you think there were a few people here last week for church, you know, think about that one. Here he's going to an area for 7 years. But because he just kept going, he ends up seeing the fruit of the labor. And it has the impact to even today. This guy named Charles Simeon went to a church, and the people were so upset at him coming to Trinity Church that they, and in these days, they would lock their pews. You'd buy a pew, and you could put like door gate on it, and that was your family pew. They locked him. They said, okay, you want this person to come as pastor? That's fine, but we don't want him, so people can't sit in our pew. And so anybody who came to the church service then had to stand in the aisles or stand in the back. He stayed at the church and pastored there for 54 years. And there's now books on him, and he's in the category of one of the greatest pastors of all time. But think how it started. If you came to a church, and they're locking people out, basically. That might be one of those times we say, Lord, maybe you have a different plan for me. Maybe I'll go somewhere else. He pressed on. He stood firm, knowing that God had a work for him. I know there's some areas that you understand perseverance, and some areas you might be struggling with it. I started thinking through some things in life, and I thought of a piece of music. Where you maybe can recall from the past where you struggled with a piece of music, thought you'd never be able to get it, but you stayed with it. And it finally came about. In basketball, I have he's a friend, he's an insurance salesman now and has his own company and that. But we talked a couple months ago and he was laughing because he said, you remember when I was in middle school how mad you got at me? I'm like, which time? Basketball practice. Because I wouldn't do a left-handed layup. And he said, you kicked me out of practice because I wouldn't use my left hand from the left side. And I told you I couldn't do it. And this guy went on to be a great basketball player. And he learned how to do a left-handed layup. And it may be a silly thing for you, but there's those kinds of things in life that where you need to persevere. Volleyball players, any of the ladies, do you remember when you were first told you had to serve overhand? And there's no way you can get it to the net? And this is wrong. It's just so much easier to, you know, can I throw it? Do I have to stand back at this line? Can I move up a little? And they keep saying, overhand serve. And then maybe you even considered going to a jump serve. But you need to keep practicing because eventually it comes about. I think there's also in praying or reading the Word where there's those times where we're just not feeling anything. And all too often people give up on it. They give this devotions thing a try, or they try reading the Bible, but just it's not connecting. Or they you know, I'm going to pray. I really am going to pray more this week. And they start praying. It's like it's empty. It's just not going anywhere. And in those cases, I say, don't give up. Continue to pray. Continue to read the Word. You will reap a benefit from it. It will start making sense. It will come back to you. You will be blessed. Witnessing. And it may be a case where there's a friend that you've tried witnessing to and it's been a closed door. And you're at a point where it's like, I give up. Don't give up on them. Continue sharing. You could be getting to an area right now where you want to give up on your parents because they just don't understand. Your parents are Chinese and proud of it, and you're American and proud of it, and the two do not see eye to eye. Don't give up on them. Don't show disrespect. Don't stop showing respect. I guess that would be okay. But don't be disrespectful. Show them the honor. Give them the obedience. Stay with it. You will be blessed. Don't give up. I think some people get frustrated and they change being who they really are because they're frustrated with not being noticed by anyone. And they do things they normally wouldn't do just to get noticed. Don't go there. And then immorality. Wherever the area be, with all this rethinking that's going to be going on, people get tired of always doing something the right way. And they finally give in. I'm saying, don't give in. Stay strong. Persevere. Stand firm, and you will be blessed with it. That's that never, never, never give up. It's a piece of art that's out there. That frog is not giving up. As soon as he gives up, he's a goner. Realize that. He's not going to give up. Think about the runner from the start. It's just more fun to keep on going. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for giving us the abilities to press on. Thank you for giving us the strength. I pray that be it a physical area, more of an intellectual, academic area, emotional, area of morality, spirituality, wherever it's at, that we'd be challenged to keep pressing on and not give up. I thank you for how you bless us. I pray that we would live our lives to be a blessing to you. And of course, I pray this in my Savior's name, in Jesus' name. Amen.